We've been teaching on spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is all about forgiving and being forgiven. We had the first message on spiritual healing last week. And this week, what I've done is I've taken that last message and divided it into two messages. So you'll hear the first one today, and then we'll have the next one next week. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it is a real revelation in your life that helps you live a life free from bitterness, free from unforgiveness, and most of all, free from sin and free from the power that sin has over our lives.
Well, we've been teaching on a series of the five kinds of healing and the various kinds of healings. And really, the emphasis of this has been in two areas. One is to learn about healing and the various kinds of healing so we can apply that to ourselves when we need it. If the devil's chasing you around, you need to know how to operate in deliverance healing for yourself. But we've also been talking about how do we operate as prayer ministers with others. The Lord has and will call all of us at various times to pray for folks under various circumstances, and we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to operate as a prayer minister. And so we're really seeing these aspects of healing from both these places. And I want you to see that this morning as well as we continue talking about spiritual healing. Now, spiritual healing is all about forgiving and being forgiven. It's all about letting go of unforgiveness, finding and letting go of unforgiveness that we have in our hearts. And then also, it's about finding forgiveness for ourselves or for those that we're praying for. And the whole point of spiritual healing is to bring us into a place where we can have victory over sin, where we can, instead of being dominated by our sin or our bitterness, we can have control over that. Now, remember in Genesis there, where Cain is having trouble with God accepting Abel's offering, his brother's offering, but not his. And the Lord warns Cain, and he tells him, sin is crouching at your door, and you must master it. Well, unfortunately, Cain didn't have the tools to do that. And we do. And we need to learn about those tools. We need to learn about how to make them effective in our lives. And so, we talked last time, give you a kind of a quick summary, quick rundown. We talked about how the process works, what is spiritual healing, how to go through that. But we also said since it deals with sin and forgiveness from sin, we need to understand sin better. We talked a little bit about what sin is like, what is sin. And I want to make sure that we cover a point we didn't talk about last time. That's a question that I have for you, and that is, when have you sinned? When is sin counted against you? Is it when you think and plot to disobey God? When you fantasize and dream about disobeying God? Or is it when you actually disobey God and do something that's wrong? When is it? When is it that you've sinned? It's when you've thought about it. Sin happens not in our hands and feet. Sin happens in our minds. I went to a big box store last week, and as I walked in, there were two managers and a policeman talking, and the policeman was obviously taking a report, and as I was getting my cart, I could hear them, what they were talking about, and the manager was kind of jumping back and forth, saying, well, we tried to stop him, you know, we'd get in front of him, and then he'd just go around us. And then he went off into the woods, and this policeman was talking about having chased some guy with a television off into the wood the other day. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, yeah, but you know, there's some stores that won't stop you if you try to carry stuff out. Matter of fact, I know there's some stores that tell their employees not only don't stop them, but don't bother getting the license number on their car. I mean, just let them go. You need to kind of watch people, see if you can keep people like that out of the store. But if they're going to steal stuff, you can just let them go. There's too much liability in trying to stop them. And so here I am walking through the store, and I'm kind of idly thinking, well, you know, I guess I could pose as a college student. I've come back to college, and I'm doing a thesis on criminal justice. And so I'll go around and interview stores and find out which ones have a policy of chasing after people that steal from them and which ones don't. And then I know where I could go to steal a television from, right? And, you know, as soon as I thought about that, I thought, good grief, I would never, if I stole a television, I could never watch it after that. I mean, I just couldn't do something like that. And so, think about that a minute. If I just casually think through that, am I sinning? Because I get to the place where I go, no, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm not really planning that. But you know what? When I go get my clipboard, and I find a student ID that I can use, and I start going around interviewing stores and talking to them and planning this out and stuff, I've already sinned. You know, I might as well have stolen that television at that point. See, sin happens in our minds. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures today. Some of them I'm not going to have time to really go over. So if you can, write down as much of the scriptures, go back over some of them. I think you'll find some to be surprising to you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, talks about, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against, now there where it says thing, obviously that's a thought because of the rest of the contents, so I'm going to translate it that way. Destroying every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought captive. We have to bring our thoughts captive if we're going to come to a place where we can walk free from sin. Jesus made this real clear in Matthew 5 and verse 28, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and He tells the folks that are listening, but I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in her heart. So when I'm looking for this area of spiritual healing in my life, I'm looking for sins I've committed, things I've done, things that I've left undone. But I'm also looking for thought patterns. You know, I'm looking for the rotten, negative, ungodly attitudes, ungodly ways of thinking, stinking thinking, as some folks have called it. I'm especially looking for the habitual sins that I might have fallen into. What kinds of things, thought patterns, do I have that make it easy for me to just continue to fall into sin? And the wonderful thing about spiritual healing is that God has made a way for us to be set free. Now, last time we also had some fun with the idea of how do you know when you need spiritual healing? And we said that you know that somebody needs spiritual healing when every time you get around them, the only thing that comes out of their mouth is something negative. And they're upset with people and they're mad at folks and then why won't people do what they're supposed to do? And no matter where I go, people don't. And I told them to do this, and they didn't do it. And why can't people just do their job and do the right thing? And I mean, they're just always angry, carrying grudges, carrying what other folks should have done. I'm just sick and tired of people acting that way. I could just pinch their head off. You know, it's a good thing they didn't get close to me because I'd have just given them what for. When you hear folks talking like that, you know to start praying that they'll find a place of spiritual healing, okay? If I just hadn't done that, whatever it was, then things would be different now. You know they probably need spiritual healing. If you're saying things like this, if he had just left me alone, my life would be so much better now. If I could have kept that business going, and we'd be doing all right now. If I had just kept my mouth shut, then we wouldn't be in the fix we're in now. You hear what I'm saying? Those are the kinds of things when we start hearing ourselves think like that. We know we need spiritual healing. Oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for the sin that I just committed for about the 100th or 1,000th time. We need spiritual healing when we fall into that place. Matter of fact, we've known some folks that have come to the place where they say, Lord, why can't I stop doing the things that I know are not right? And they start finding themselves hiding from God. They start finding themselves hiding from other people. Or they even decide, you know what? Maybe if I just end my life, that's the way I can stop doing evil. They don't have to do that. God has given us a process for spiritual healing. And I want to go over that process with you this morning. It is a 5-step process, I think. Let me give you a summary, a real quick summary of the 5 steps, and then we'll talk about them one at a time. First step is be willing to hear about your need for spiritual healing. Number 2, ask God to show you where you need spiritual healing. Number 3, release your sin and your unforgiveness to God. Number 4, pray for forgiveness and spiritual healing. And number 5, and this is probably the most important part of this whole thing, and that is that you have to recognize that you are now not only righteous, but you are now innocent. And we'll talk about that. So the first part of this process is, you just got to be willing. You know, sometimes we have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I'm at least willing for you to start telling me what's happening, what I'm doing wrong, where I'm not thinking right. And there have been a couple of times where I've given the Lord that permission in my life, and then I wasn't so sure afterwards that I should have given him that permission, because he started showing me things I didn't know that I wanted to see, you see. Lord, help me be willing. Give me the grace to hear you speak to me. You got to give God permission to reveal things to you in your life. Otherwise, you're not ever going to be able to let go of that sin. You know how it is? We only find what we're looking for. You know that saying, well, I found it in the last place I looked? Well, of course, that's because you quit looking. We only find if we're looking for something. You got to be looking. And if you're not willing to look and see the ugly junk that's down in your heart, and we've all got some down in there, then you have just condemned yourself to stay in bondage to that junk. So, step 1, Lord, make me willing to hear. Step 2, then, is, okay, Lord, show me the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the sin that's in my life. Let me give you a picture of how I think this works. Have you ever watched somebody melting metal or refining metal? Ever watched somebody cast lead bullets? I've never watched anybody do this with gold, but they talk about people melting gold. They'll take gold jewelry, put it in a pot, got a big fire going, it begins to melt. And what happens is the gold is heavier than the other metals that are impurities within that gold jewelry. And so the gold begins to settle down to the bottom, the liquid gold, and the other liquid metals then begin to float on the top. And whoever's doing the refining will take a metal ladle or scoop and scoop the junk off the top and either keep it or throw it away. And then they'll stir the pot some more, and eventually some more impurities come up. And they take that and then they wipe it off the top and get rid of it. I think that's the way it works with us, that when we pray, Lord, help me to see what's going on in my heart. Help me to see, number 1, the unforgiveness that's in my heart, and number 2, the sin that's in my heart. What we're doing is we're asking the Lord to bubble that stuff up to the surface. It's like he'll stir the pot of your heart, and then he'll reveal to you where the bitterness is, where the rotten attitudes is. And it may be through dreams, it may be through memories that just come about unbidden, it may be from smells or phone calls or something that somebody says. Once you have put yourself in this place to say, Lord, I'm willing to hear this, I want you to bubble this stuff up to the surface in my life, it will begin to happen. And then you'll need to deal with it. The Lord did this with me the other day with something that I had done literally decades ago and was still feeling embarrassment about. And I realized I need to deal with that. I need spiritual healing in that area. I'm praying, I've already prayed, that for many of us this morning as I speak, the Lord's going to reveal things to you, going to show you things that need to be dealt with, so that we can pray over you, so that you can pray over yourself. I'm telling you, this is like carrying around a burlap sack full of poisonous snakes. You just don't want to carry that junk around with you. It's poison to us, okay? Don't goof around with this. I'm praying you'll have moments when you'll remember our list of, you know, you need spiritual healing when, and you'll go, yeah, that's me. This is that area, Lord. I need to deal with that. So that's the second part of the process. The Lord has to show us where we need spiritual healing. The third part of the process is we've got to let go of that stuff and let it go to God so that He can heal us. Once God's revealed where your grudges are, where your sin is, He's revealed it to you so you can do something with it, and that's so you can let go of it, okay? I was praying for a man not too long ago. He was holding resentment against his wife, and he didn't want to let go of that resentment. He didn't want to forgive her. Somehow to him, it was like if I forgive her, then I've lost all the arguments, or it's like somehow admitting defeat or somehow admitting weakness or something like that. And he just wouldn't let go of it. And I'm telling you, it was like holding fire in your hands and it was burning him alive, but he still wouldn't let go. Ask God to help you give it up. That's what we have to do. We can't control how we feel, but we can ask God to help us with those things and to give us grace. Now, I tell you, we can control the flow of spiritual healing. If you're not willing to forgive yourself, then God won't be able to forgive you. So spiritual healing may start when you realize there's a sin in your life you need forgiveness from. But until you're willing to forgive others, or maybe even to forgive yourself, God may not be able to forgive you. You understand that? That us forgiving others is a prerequisite to God forgiving us. And I'm telling you, forgiving other people can be a really hard part of this process. Let's talk about letting go of grudges and bitternesses for a minute, okay? We were praying for a lady. Actually, this happened in Scotland. We were praying for her for inner healing, and as we were praying, the Lord revealed that one of the blocks to inner healing that she was having was that she was carrying some unforgiveness, some bitterness. And she said, yes, indeed, I am. And I even know what it is, because we started to pray, Lord, show her what it is. Oh, no, I know what it is. It was something about her sister and something that had been done to her sister years ago. And she said, I want to let go of that unforgiveness, but I don't know how. And so we began to pray for her. Lord, help her to let go. So the first part of the prayer is, Lord, give me grace to want to forgive. And then, Lord, show me how. You may not be able to forgive without some help. I mean, I know that there have been several times in my life I couldn't forgive without God's miraculous grace operating in me. Sometimes you just have to kind of do it by faith. You know, I'm going to say that I forgive you even though I don't feel like I forgive you or that person. And I'm just going to keep saying that I forgive them, and I'm going to keep acting like I forgive them until pretty soon I start feeling that way. So you have to kind of do it by faith, I guess you'd say. Sometimes you have to do it by an act of will. No, I don't feel like I've forgiven that person, but I'm going to act like it anyway. And if we do that, and as we continue to seek God's grace, pretty soon He makes it easy for our emotions to catch up with what our mouth is saying. Now let's talk about letting go of sin, okay? And let's be frank about this. Sometimes we're walking in sin because we like it. We like doing whatever it is. I've heard people say, But why does it have to be a sin? Surely there's some way I can do this and it'll be all right. Or, I don't think I could go a day or a week or whatever without that release. In other words, I want to hang on to that. I'd have to change my whole life around if I gave that up. Okay, well, yeah, you may have to. No, it's just too important for me to give up. That's idolatry. But there are some folks that are keeping things like that in their lives. I've prayed for addicts many times, and I was praying for an addict one time, and he just told me, it just feels too good. I don't want to give it up. He knew it was a sin. He knew it had become an idol in his life. This was a Christian man that had been overtaken by sin and by addiction. He just kept looking for some way that it was going to be all right. You know, well, I'm not really hurting anybody. Duh, what does that have to do with anything, you know? I heard about something that has happened to a friend of mine, not in this area. Is a good Christian man, and he fell into an affair. He is a worship leader and fell into an affair with one of the other people in the worship team in his church. And of course, his pastor told him, you know, you got a choice. You can either give up that affair or you can give up this church. And so, well, I don't want to have to give up the affair. I mean, God's grace is good and God forgives me. And well, okay, if God's forgiven you, then you can quit that affair. Oh, no, I don't want to quit that affair. Well, you're done at the church. Don't come back till you're ready to actually repent. Well, yeah, but surely it's all right. And, you know, we hear these songs and you see these movies all the time about, well, surely if it feels so good, it can't be wrong. Well, yes, it can be, you know. And that's what, and this guy, he doesn't understand why friends on Facebook don't seem to want to have any grace for him. And when I first heard that, I thought, well, he must have given up the affair and now he wonders why people won't forgive him. No, he hadn't given up the affair yet. Well, yeah, but folks ought to be a little overlooking our sin. No, not like that. You know, give me a break. Remember when sin happens. Sin happens in our minds, okay? Sin happens when I think about, when I really start thinking about stealing that TV or robbing a bank or committing adultery or whatever it is. And even if I don't actually commit the act that I'm thinking about, I am still guilty. And that means I have to look deep inside my heart sometimes to find sin and to make sure that I'm listening to God and say, Lord, I'm ready to give it up. Look, if God reveals to you sin that's in your life, I can promise you there are two things that you know about that. One is that that activity pattern or thought pattern is bad for you. If God reveals it and says this is sin, it's bad for you. And the other thing I can promise you is that you can learn to live without it. God's grace is like that, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I know that I'm talking to Christians. And it sounds like I'm talking to a bunch of sinners, right? Well, maybe your experience in life has been different than mine, but I am not quite free from sin yet, but I'm working on it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not ever allow you to be tempted beyond what you're capable of bearing. That means what you're capable of resisting, okay? But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. My prayer today is, Lord, help us see and help us want to take that way of escape that you have offered us. Lord, give us grace to want to give up unforgiveness. Give us grace to want to give up the sin, and then show us how to do that. Show us that way of escape. Okay, step four in the process is we got to pray for forgiveness. We got to pray for spiritual healing. Sin doesn't magically just disappear from your account. I find no scriptural references where God is able to forgive without repentance. God's forgiveness of your sins starts by you humbling yourself before Him, by you repenting. Repenting means you're sorry for what you did. It means you confess your sin at least to God and maybe to some other people, and it means that you turn away from that sin and you determine not to do it again. If you're sitting there going, oh Lord, forgive me so I can take communion this morning, and then you're still planning on how you can continue to sin this afternoon or tomorrow, then you haven't repented yet, okay? 1 John 1, 8 and 9. We hear this often repeated in our services before we pray a prayer of confession together. 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, then we're deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. John's writing to Christians here. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have to repent. Mark 1, 15. Have to confess, have to repent, have to say, God, forgive. Mark 1, 15. Jesus is telling people, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe the gospel. In other words, if you're going to receive forgiveness, you got to start with repentance. Luke 13 and verse 3 says that repentance is actually necessary to salvation. 13:3, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. Acts 3:19 is talking about how we should repent so that our sins will be blotted out. See, this is starting to get us down to the place of, so what happens when I repent? Well, God says, I'm not going to hold you accountable to the punishment that you deserve for that sin. But he does a lot more than that. He actually blots it out. But remember the caveat that even if you repent, even if you're humble before God, and have confessed and asked for forgiveness, if you're holding in your heart unforgiveness, then you're stopping God from forgiving you. Now, you may be holding unforgiveness against yourself. I had a couple of grudges against myself that I had to deal with. Stupid things I had done. Dumb things I had done. I had to forgive myself. Of course, usually we can think of somebody else we have to forgive too. In this process, we have to go through confessing and repenting and saying, God, forgive me. That's step 4.
Well, I'm going to stop here, and then we'll continue this message next week. We'll conclude it next week.